Okay, let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of our faith, gift of these brand new Catholics, the gift of those Catholics who have completed their sacraments of initiation. We ask that you continue to open our hearts and our minds to the incredible grace, Lord, that you desire to pour forth from us, to springboard us into ever greater levels of peace and joy. Lord, you desire to use us as part of your salvific plan. That reality is mind-blowing. Please open our hearts and our minds to all the grace, Lord, that you desire to give us, that we may be effective instruments of your grace. Amen. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, honestly, I wonder why this topic that we given isn't something we would do before Easter. because it's the title is Catholic Now What? And then they give us many of the social teachings of the church. Honestly, I would want to talk about these before I became a Catholic. Hey, how you doing? So hopefully there's not too many surprises here. And if had you known this, you maybe would have reconsidered. No.
Yeah, a lot of those do get mixed in with the other classes.
So let me kind of turn it over onto you. Is there a social issue that is on your heart and mind to discuss? I have the listeners that included an email. Did they get the same description?
That's in the class schedule, yeah.
Is there something that you want to talk about, some social, moral teaching that you struggle with or you just want more information on?
Well, something that happened today, I had two young girls in the neighborhood who were playing in front of my house, and they had a bird, and I said, oh, that's it's beautiful. She says, my pet bird. And I said, oh, he doesn't fly. He stays around you? She says, no, their wings are clipped. So they don't fly. And it's been with me ever since. I just don't do that.
Yeah, right.
Is it from a pet shop?
I think so.
Is it okay to neuter your dog?
No.
What's another example of that? Is it okay for me to get a saltwater tank since almost every fish in there died? That's probably better.
The dog is a form of brook. Neuter dog.
Could also be a charity. They don't have their. Yeah. remember, they're irrational creatures. Did the clipping of the wings hurt the bird?
Probably not.
No, it doesn't. My family used to have a blue and gold macaw while I was growing up, and it had clipped wings. And the main reason was that if they ever got out of the house, it wouldn't be able to fly off and never be seen again. He didn't need to fly in the house anyway. He could glide a little bit. Mm. So, but it's not a painful thing for the birds.
Do they just hop around?
Yeah, they can glide and walk. I mean, when you have, like, a big macaw at home, usually he just sits on a perch all day anyway.
And I suppose if they were, because their wings were clipped, their little bird lives were miserable, it would probably be more difficult to accept as okay. You neuter your dog to actually give it freedom. Otherwise, you're, like, when I was a kid, our dog was... we had a female dog, and when she was in heat, that boy dogs would come out from the woodworks, and I literally, as a kid, I had to carry a bat with me when we took her for a walk. That can kind of give a little more freedom.
It's also a health issue too.
We decided not to neuter our female miniature schnauzer. When she reached the age of 13, her uterus became infected and she almost died.
besides, if it's good enough for Bob Barker, didn't he end up off this Price is Right thing? Wait, yeah. Is that Price Right?
Yeah, Price is Right, yeah.
I can always say, get your pet spayed and neutered. It's a really good question that you asked, but I think it's probably okay as long as it's not harmful to the dog, to the birds. That's a good question. How about some more controversial, maybe harder ones to wrap around minds around? They all relate to the dignity of the human person at its earliest stages. Of course, I hope you know that the church is against abortion in any circumstance. But there are related issues to that, like that are very topical. For example, embryonic stem cell research. What's an embryo? It's a child, okay? And to use that child in its early formation in scientific research. You'll hear of two kinds of stem cell research. One is embryonic, little babies, and one is adult stem cell research. The church is totally behind and 100% backs the adult stem cell. Why? Because the adult stem cell can be extracted without killing the person. You can't, any embryonic stem cell research results in the death of a person. And so that's why the church is against all forms of embryonic stem cell research. Why do we care about this right now? Because the vaccines. Of course, our bishops have told us that it's very remote. Just kind of the three vaccines that are currently available in the United States, and I'm not judging anyone. I have not received the vaccine. I probably will get it at some point, but I've not had it yet. Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca one, which is not here in the United States, but other parts of the world, those vaccines both use in the development, in other words, to create the vaccine, they use stem cells from a child, from an embryo, from the 1970s. So this was an abortion. This little child died, it's one of these, it's called something like infinite replicator or something, that these stem cells, in certain circumstances, certain rare circumstances, are able to be replicated over and over and over and over and over again. So this particular, it has a name, like moniker or something to it. It's been replicated many, many times and used not just in these two vaccines in their development, but likely in medicine that you aren't even aware and have been taking perhaps for years. It's been used in similar sorts of embryonic stem cells have been used to test foods and other kinds of things. So this sadly is a very common practice. But honestly, I wasn't aware of the widespread use of embryonic stem cells in the development and testing of foods and things until the pandemic. That's why the Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca ones are at the lower end of the morally approved. The bishops have said that they're okay because it's from the 1970s. This is a long time ago. This is a very remote cooperation with evil. Better, though, if I were to be offered the vaccine and they gave me the Johnson & Johnson as an option, I would say, are Pfizer or Moderna available to me? And if not, I would maybe shop around until I found them because I know they are available. I would never ask if someone wants to volunteer whether they got the vaccine or not. You tell me if that option was made available to you.
So I can answer that. At least in Loudoun County, which is where I live, you're not given an option. So you show up at the...
Are you told in advance?
They'll tell you what you're going to get. But
before you arrive there?
No. Not until you get there. You get what you get kind of thing. Now, of course, you can walk out.
Could you have asked and they would have told you?
I don't know. I did not do that because I was offered Pfizer in my case. if they told me I was going to get Johnson & Johnson, I would ask.
Yeah.
Because they are using that one.
Right. Yeah. Early on, they weren't. We didn't have that as an option. But the Pfizer and Moderna ones are better morally because they did not use an embryo in their development. They did, sadly, use the same embryonic stem cell line to test whether their vaccine was effective or not. So that makes it more remote, but still, there is a cooperation with evil, even as it's very remote in our cooperation with it. So all three of those vaccines that we have available to us in the United States are you can use them morally. Does anyone have any thoughts or comments or concerns?
So I wonder what would happen if they didn't have those cells.
I wonder if they took a shortcut and they could have used an adult stem cell.
Well, and it also very well could have been that that would have made it more difficult to develop the thing or to test it. You know, it might have taken longer, but it's one of those things where, you know, doing something that's objectively wrong to speed up something that is good, like a vaccine, is still wrong. And the ends don't justify the means.
Is it all from one child?
This one particular stem cell that has
been replicated is all from the same.
I was reading up on this a while ago, and I probably have the term wrong, but it's something like it's like an infinite replicator that they're able to reproduce this stem cell line to infinity. Really, it just keeps replicating itself. Yeah. It's unique.
There's more than one.
Right. I think all three of the vaccines, though, have used the
same. Yeah, I was going to say that the one, I don't know all the details, but this one is kind of the most commonly used.
Yeah.
But there are several stem cell lines that date back to that sort of era.
I think it's commonly used because of its replication. Yeah. It's so widely available.
Yeah.
Embryonic stem cell use was illegal in the United States until President Bush made it legal. The ones that we weren't allowed to create anymore, embryonic stem cell lines, but we could use the ones that were in existence. This is fairly new sort of technology. I shouldn't have just skipped over abortion so quickly because it obviously relates to this. I hope it's not news that even in the case of rape and incest, the churches, we just don't believe that the killing of another life is the way to go. In fact, there are some great pro-life advocates that are a product of rape or a product of incest, and they are great advocates for it and wonderful reminders. Hi.
How
you doing?
Good.
Oh, thanks. Was that a subtle way of saying put it back on? Because, I mean, their lives matter. And so, tangentially related to that, something called in vitro fertilization. I've found that many Catholics don't understand that this is not, Catholics would not agree with this. This is on my heart, really, because just in my short priesthood, I've come across many couples that struggle with fertility. They have difficulty conceiving a child, and for all kinds of reasons. Which in the end really don't matter. And some go to the point where they use in vitro fertilization. Well, what is that? Is that taking the sperm from the guy, the egg from the woman, and in a laboratory creating a human person that is then implanted into the woman, and most of it, I would say all the time, not just one child, but multiple children. You create multiple children, and then you just keep going, implanting them until you give birth to one of them, or maybe more than one. And then the remaining children, they remain in the freezer. The Catholic Church's teaching in regards to this sort of question, I mean, they're trying to fulfill a beautiful good, right? That's to give life, bring life into the world. And so it's coming from a very beautiful place. I don't know why so many couples struggle with infertility. It's a devastating cross. I don't imagine, I can't imagine a more difficult cross, honestly. You want to bring life into the world. You would like it to have your DNA. For whatever reason, it's just not happening. And so I can see why many do go down this road. But there are some real moral consequences to doing it, because while every one of those, if they do come and give birth to a child or more than one, they are obviously a beautiful gift from the Lord. And there are many people walking around this world right now that are a product of IVF. They're no less human. They are just beloved by the Lord, and of course their parents as any other naturally created person. But there are real moral consequences to it, and that's, what do you do with these babies that are now in the freezer? Or even if we had 100% success rate and every one of those babies didn't exist, the way they came to exist was not the way God designed it to be. So we can kind of summarize the Catholic teachings in regards to this kind of area of moral theology by saying that we are, as Catholic Christians, allowed to aid but not substitute for the natural act. So there's all kinds of things we can do to aid. That's how come we have Viagra. We can take medication, both the guy and the woman. Sometimes women have trouble just releasing an egg or something, and there can be ways of through medication to aid that process. There's surgery that can be done, mainly in the woman. Your fertility cycle is a lot more complicated than the men's, and so there can be more things that could go wrong that could be aided with some surgeries. The NAPRO is technology that has been invented in fairly recent times that has helped many couples not just conceive but give birth to their child. Anyway, so aid but not substitute for the natural act is the basic teaching of the Church in regards to fertility. Did we talk about contraception before? I hope everyone understands that that's, again, not God's plan for you. For lots of reasons, it's not a complete act, open act of love. It is not open to life, and many contraception devices are even abort efficient, say, do an abortion. Cloning, you don't really hear us talk about that much anymore, but that too, again, it's not God's plan. Even amongst the animal species, it can be a little kind of go against some moral grains here. What was the first one? Some sheep, right?
Dolly the sheep,
yeah. Remember her? Anyway, those are kind of all in one area of kind of moral theology. Any thoughts on that?
I often, like, once at work, I met a lady, we talked every time she'd come to the store, and she finally let out that she had a son through, I guess it was this process. No, the other process where she gets the sperm. Is this the same process where she gets the sperm from a bank?
Mm. It's the same process, but she doesn't perhaps know the dad.
That was the problem, right? Because I am so connected with, you know, and I think maybe most people go through this stage, is that my real mother and dad? Because I heard about that other stuff, you know, but they were my real mother and dad. I was so, so happy about that. It made me feel more normal, and I was able to do better, and that sort of thing. So, that makes me wonder, is it just the person does not have a say in the child, the product?
Well, none of us have a say in the matter of how we come into existence. None of us willed ourselves into existence.
Well, we didn't, but we have. Yeah, that's. I mean, but the two that produced it made a choice whether it would be. And so, how would I feel if I didn't have a dad? If I didn't have a father?
Well, you would have a dad always. And they could probably look in some computer sheet to tell you who donated that sperm. So whether that they have the legal right to do that or not, I guess it's a question for a lawyer. But there is a dad and there is a mom. And they may not be the one that actually was the oven.
Yeah.
You know, that mother, the one that literally gave birth to the child, actually may not be its mother in that she didn't provide the egg. It's possible, although she is the vehicle by which this beautiful child came into existence. It gets really complicated. In fact, there were, I'm sure this is still a question that's being asked, what do you do with all these embryos that are in freezers? And some religious sisters, they are promised to be chaste celibates the rest of their lives. They have no an intention of ever having sexual intimacy, but they, as a just a gift to these freezer babies, have asked the Holy Father whether it would be okay to have these children implanted into their uterus so they could bring them into the world. In other words, to give birth to them and then give them up for adoption. And to this point, the Holy Father and the Church has said no. That too would be an immoral act. So they're kind of in this limbo sort of land. That's where the moral theologians currently are. I'm sure that will continue to be debated. That's about all I can talk about on that topic. Well, it gets pretty, what's that?
Wouldn't the nuns know better?
No, it's coming from a good place. They're wanting to allow these children to be able to be given birth. So, I mean, but it's just not the natural way to go about it. So the question still remains.
Parents have to be notified?
I think at some point, yeah, I think you give up your right to the child in the freezer. I'm sure sign away your consent that can be given like maybe to some other woman that is not producing eggs and she or the, you know, maybe a lesbian couple or you know, a homosexual couple that they want to come and have a child and instead of just going the adoption route they want to do it this way. And so I think there at some point you can either you changed your mind about the whole thing, or you, because it's incredibly expensive. I mean, this is tens of thousands of dollars. And let's say you were able to have, give birth to a child, and the remaining embryos you just sign away your rights to. Perhaps, I don't know how, or maybe you don't, maybe you still continue to own them. I know there's been issues in regards to, like, divorces. You know, who's eggs are those? Whose babies? Right. So, I mean, there's some other tangential areas, like we're speaking about, you know, about infertility. There are moral and immoral ways to try to go about finding out if there's a solution to if you have an infertility problem. The guy can provide his part pretty much any time of the day. but he has to do it, if he wants to do it in a moral way, through the natural act of making love with his wife, wearing a, believe it or not, a condom, which you would normally think is not God's plan for your marriage, but they make something called perforated condoms, and so the semen can come through the condom, but some of it is held by the condom, and it can then be sent off to the lab to do a test to see if there is an issue on the guy's side. Anyway, we probably got more detail on this than you guys were expecting. Any more thoughts, questions, moving on? I suppose another very current sort of issue is in regards to what's called gay marriage in our country and throughout the world. I'm not telling you I'm an expert in this area, but I am the chaplain for the Courage Apostolate. I may have mentioned that in one of our previous talks. So what does that mean? Well, Courage is an apostolate that ministers to men and women who struggle with same-sex attraction. So I have the great privilege of meeting mainly guys, but also some women that struggle with this very difficult cross. And I can tell you from these many dozens of conversations and people that I've met that the church has it right. I know many homosexuals. The only ones that I know that are living in peace are the ones that are seeking truth, beauty, and goodness as taught by the Catholic Church. Those that are not may have moments of peace and joy, but they ultimately are not living in peace. Certainly not. In fact, I have even my own relatives that are in these so-called gay marriages, three. And, they may have moments of happiness, but for the most part, their lives are miserable. They went down a road that they wish, I'm sure, they could have changed. But it is possible to, and I hope priests can be a good example of this. It's possible to have a lot of peace and joy and be completely fulfilled as a human person without sexual intimacy. I know sometimes I'm really stressed and I lack patience and all that, and you see perhaps the worst in me sometimes. But for the most part, I am very happy, and I can tell you I'm not having sex. So it's possible. It does require grace. I do consider it a great privilege to be able to minister to these men and women. Does that mean their lives are easy? Of course not. None of our lives are easy, though. We all have our own crosses. This one, I think, is particularly difficult, especially when you have all society screaming in your ears, go and seek the pleasure that we all seek. But we're not hedonists in the Catholic Church. If it feels good, do it. It's not our mantra. In fact, there's many examples. Before I came over here, I had RE, and then I had 30 minutes. So I ran home to get a quick bite to eat. What I wanted to do was take a gallon of mint chocolate chip ice cream and just pound that down, right? But that's, again, a pleasure that would not be good for me. And thankfully, we didn't have it in the house. and not a pleasure that I was even offered. But you get my point. Not all pleasures are things that God wants us to act on. I do know that this is a hard topic. It's not something we can put out in a tweet, right, and explain. So if anyone ever wants to have a conversation, perhaps you know people in your own families or friend groups that struggle in this way, or perhaps already in a so-called same-sex union or marriage, I would love to be able to just chat with you more privately, because I know these are deeply personal and difficult situations. Unless someone wants to talk about it.
What about the whole issue of being trans or not being assigned the right gender?
Yeah, life is getting a whole lot more complicated. I don't even understand some of the language we even use. I can tell you we all have an immortal soul, and that immortal soul has a gender that was given to us by the Lord. And so from the beginning of the human person, I suppose, we've had people that have struggled with their sexuality. Most of us grow out of it. I don't know if you're allowed to say this anymore. We used to call them tom girls, right? Or tomboys, I'm sorry. They're just like girls that like to do more like boy stuff. We call them tomboys. I don't know if you're allowed to say them. Is that a verboten expression?
I'm sure somebody thinks it's
probably not.
Yeah.
And of course, there's boys that are more on the effeminate sort of scale, and started off life playing with the Barbies instead of the Ken dolls or whatever it was. And most of us, the vast majority of us that might go through a stage like that, grow out of it. But when it's encouraged and embraced and even worse, I think borders on child abuse when, as a child, they're given hormone therapy or surgery. Before that process is allowed to play out, I think we really do harm to that person. There are many, many examples of people that have gone through that process only to wish they had it later in life when it's pretty much too late. I just don't get it. It's a very confusing process. There are only two genders, either a boy or a girl. And
are there such a thing as being born with both or both kinds?
That is a very rare circumstance, and you can get to the DNA level and understand what someone is, but yeah, they can have both body parts.
There are. They're called intersex disorders. They are extremely rare. And there's a few different kinds, but they're basically chromosomal disorders, right? So typically, what is it? Men are XY chromosomes and women are XX. Mm-hmm. Is that right? I think that's right. There are very rare cases where somebody has two X's and a Y or, you know, where something's gone awry there. I don't know that the church has actually said anything about that, but my assumption would be that that's a disorder and that God intended them to be one or the other, but maybe we can't tell scientifically.
Some of them literally have both body parts.
Right, yes.
The genital area. So.
Yeah, there's all different variants of these kinds of disorders. It's not one scenario. But when it comes to the transgender thing, the vast majority of people who identify as transgender are definitively male or female from the chromosomal level. And that can be determined scientifically. And the church would say that you are what you are.
And in fact, sadly, what we're having to do these days at baptism is now record the gender. Because it will happen someday where I'm preparing a couple for marriage and they present themselves as a man and a woman when in fact they're two men or two women. And when we receive their baptismal certificate, it will now indicate their birth gender because that's the gender.
There's a lot of states now when you change your birth certificate, which to me is just insane. It's like, from a political perspective...
Well, did I say birth? I meant baptismal.
Well, no. You said baptismal. I'm saying that it's a good thing the church is doing that, because in a lot of states now, some of the more leftward states politically, generally, if you identify as transgender, so let's say you're biologically female, but you identify as male, you can actually file with the court and have the state change your birth and then you could present a birth certificate for a sacrament or whatever that has the wrong gender on it, which again I think is insane, but so it's a good thing that the church is recording that separately when it can.
No, it's crazy. Yeah. It's sad. I don't know what else to say in regards to that. Go to Facebook, there's like 1,000 different versions. You know.
It's sad that it's so widely accepted. People in our neighborhood are talking, like, kids are saying that they're trans when they're
It's becoming trendy,
yeah.
which you know, and like you were saying, right? A lot of people go through a phase and then grow out of it, but because this is becoming socially acceptable, we have parents now that when their kid goes through that phase are doing irreparable, you know, medical treatment.
Or they're pushing for it too.
Yeah.
What was that?
They're pushing for it too,
right,
because it's so trendy right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it all kind of started with, there was a show on TLC years ago that was about a young boy who decided he wanted to be a girl. Like, in his jazz or something like that. Yeah. And so that kind of started becoming more, there was more awareness about it at that point, and it became, like, very, started becoming trendy at that point.
Yeah. And of course, the thing that drives me crazy about it is this very conversation that we're having here you can't have in a lot of places, because if you question any of this, you're immediately labeled, you know, transphobic. You hate people.
A bigot.
yeah. And I think that's almost as dangerous as this whole thing is in the first place, in my view. The silencing of the discussion just drives me nuts.
Are you having these conversations?
At home, yeah. But I don't see, what is the desired outcome by a lot of these political leaders or scientific leaders? I don't, are they trying to break down the church or society in general?
Can I just talk to you? This is my personal opinion. I think there has been an attack on the church from its very beginning. That's just true. And right now, there is an attack on the family, the smallest unit of the church. Now the attack literally is on the individual person. Others are trying to redefine what it literally means to be human. And it doesn't get any more core than that. And a lot of the things that we've been talking about all relate to that. What does it mean to be human? Human person call to union with the other in a particular way within the gift of marriage, all of it. It's all sort of how do we bring about other human persons. It's getting down to really the core question, who are we? Mm-hmm. And the answer is we are God's beloved sons and daughters. I this is why I speak of it often. If we get that wrong, we mess up a whole lot of stuff. And so this is why this is a battle we have to be willing to fall on the sword for, because this is central. This is at the core of everything else, honestly. And
Father, do you believe that the Pope and some of the bishops should speak out a little bit more on topics like this?
I'm always for more dialogue.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I hear, I recently, I guess over Easter, President Biden mentioned that he agrees with Pope Francis on everyone should get the COVID vaccine. Hmm. Like, well, yeah, that's obvious. What about some of the other topics?
Yeah, I mean, the problem with the 21st century and a pope that flies around and speaks off the cuff is sometimes words are taken out of context, and so we don't get the full story. We weren't on the airplane. And so much of what the Holy Father is reported as saying, I don't know if I believe that, and I think that's over and over again come to be true.
Absolutely.
I wish the Holy Father were more careful in his speech sometimes, honestly, even in my own apostolate, with men and women that struggle with same-sex attraction, much pain could have been avoided had we known what he actually said at the beginning. But because he was not careful with who he was talking and how he was talking, people have agenda and they control information, so we don't always get the truth. I do wish the church was better at marketing herself. I think we are getting better. We are starting to use technology in ways that we were not before. Not this one. This is technology. This is, I wish I could throw it out the window. This is the emergency phone.
To your question about what's motivating the transgender movement amongst politicians.
Yeah, why have they taken that up? Like,
so,
there aren't that many people.
So,
to divide.
There are political reasons, right, which is not really the topic for this class. I think, you know, in brief, right, lots of politicians out there will say whatever they think will buy them some votes, whether they really believe it or not. As far as how it's going in society, though, and what's motivating a lot of this, I mean, from a Catholic perspective, I think we're seeing Satan working in the world, sowing lies. You know, that's something that it's not always a popular belief, something that sometimes people look a little askance at Catholics about, but we believe in Satan. There is a demonic force out there that is trying to undermine the church, trying to undermine truth, trying to lead people astray. And I think what we've seen, not just with, I mean, the transgender stuff is an example of it, but certainly not the only one. I think what we're seeing is that the devil is making inroads. As the church, for whatever reason, seems to be losing some of its popular support. So I think that's, from a religious perspective, I think that's a lot of what's going on here.
Yeah, the bishops used to be able to tell you not to go to a movie, and then we wouldn't.
Yeah.
Now we run to this. If there was ever a bishop, do not go to this movie list, then that would be the most popular movie.
You listen to a song. Yeah. I remember the Billy Joel song.
Catholic Girls.
Good Die Young. Yeah. I was in grade school when that came out. I remember the sisters were against anyone listening to that song. But do you think maybe that's the reason why people are leaving the Catholic Church? That numbers are down, that people are fed up, that perhaps the bishops or even the Holy Fathers are not saying enough about topics like this?
I'm sure it's more complicated than that. I'm sure.
I know COVID kind of plays a role in that too.
I actually think the coronavirus is going to reinvigorate the Catholic Church. I'm still driving around and seeing signs on non-Catholic churches that they have yet to come in person.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine's wife is, he's Catholic, she's not, and they have yet to have an in-person service over a year later.
My former Methodist church has had, on Sundays where the weather is nice, they've had some outdoor services. But that's it. That's all they have.
And I think even non-Catholics can understand that that's just, at some level, that's not right. The internet can be used in beautiful ways, but at some point, we got to gather together. And even if it's not quote-unquote necessary sacramentally like it is in the Catholic Church, I do think that it could lead to a resurgence. What I do know is happening in the Catholic Church is, I don't know if this is exactly what he envisioned, but Pope Benedict spoke about the remnant, that there's going to be he didn't use this word, but a shrinking of the church, but the church that is left is going to be stronger and more faithful, that she will then, again, go out to expand. I think these are extraordinary times. I feel so blessed to have been born in this era of the church, because a lot is being asked of us, and we can literally influence human history and the history of the church in, I think, profound ways because of just the timing that we were placed in this planet. And yes, this is not the time to be shrinking. This is the time to be finding our own little soapboxes and our own little areas of influence and being able to just speak about the true beauty and goodness of a God who loves people. He loves me, he loves you, and we have the best story in the world to tell. Nobody's got what we got. And that's what, for too long Catholics have been shrinking from our responsibility. Matthew ends his gospel and saying, go. What? No, I got what I got. I'm good. No, go. Yeah, and I will be with you till the end of time. I'm not sending you off without some help. Yeah, it's time to go. Gotta go. No, just kidding. I don't know, there's some other issues that were kind of on the list. Capital punishment was in the description. That is different than abortion, in that it's not, I guess, always wrong, but I can tell you in the United States it probably always is. The circumstances which capital punishment might be approved, and the Holy Father has kind of made this a little more messy recently, but for example, if you were in a less developed country and there was a really horrible person and you could not guarantee public safety, or your jails are not able to keep him or her in there and not out terrorizing people, there's probably an argument that could be made. But I think it's a real stretch for our country, honestly. I think capital punishment should be very close to zero in the United States, because we have the infrastructure to be able to protect ourselves from evil people. Even from evil people not in jail coming to try to release evil people that are in jail. I would accept a contrary view. These are kinds of things that we can disagree on. Because despite what the Holy Father has recently done, which is to muddy the waters, in my opinion, he's basically said that capital punishment anywhere is sinful, essentially. Anyway, what do you guys think of that?
I think there's some genuinely evil people out there that can't be among
common. And that's why we have jails.
Yeah, but then we have people that are willing to release them on parole or because of COVID. Why not let them wear a mask in prison, or keep them 6 feet apart and eat in shifts or whatever?
You would think that. Prisons would be the easiest place in the world to do social distancing.
Yeah. My biggest concern with capital punishment, though, is if you put if there's a death penalty, you can't undo it. And there's been instances where people have been found guilty, but then found later when there's new technology or new evidence that they weren't guilty. And so, in a situation where they're in jail, there's things they can try to do to kind of write it after the fact. But if a person's put to death, you can't undo that. Personally, I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah, and I think that's the prosecutor's fault, that they've got to get a conviction a lot of times, and they're willing to go to any measure. Those guys have egos, or the gals have egos. And there's just wrong people on both sides.
I come at it kind of the same way. If from a political perspective, if we can't guarantee 100% accuracy in that we only put to death people who are absolutely guilty, you can't guarantee it 100%, which we can't, then it's not worth the risk, in my view, of executing somebody who's innocent.
And I would make the argument that even if we could, that this issue was not an issue, I would still make an argument in the United States for sure that it's still not something we ought to be condoning.
Especially since we can keep them secure in prison, so it's not like they're, you know, they can get out easily.
Yeah, I mean, it's a question of, I think from the religious, I was speaking just from a political perspective, I agree from the religious perspective with you, that, you know, it's not, it was meant, capital punishment is meant to be used to protect society, not as punishment or as retribution. And if we can protect society to a reasonable level in some other way, then we should use that other way.
But capital punishment is often debated to be the contrary, and devil's advocate, isn't the Bible filled with all kinds of examples of capital punishment?
It is.
Or just justice in general. I mean, it is like a form of justice.
Sure.
Raise the stone people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joseph could have had Mary stoned to death. That was the punishment for infidelity. She was pregnant. Wasn't his baby. That would have been a mistake. One of those misjudgments. This is a more complicated issue than I think it's sometimes talked about in the public square. There's always, well, I shouldn't say always, most of the time, an opportunity for rehabilitation, too. I think that's something that we do a disservice in. One of my, I call my buddy, anyway, this homeless kid that crossed my path a few years ago, he's in and out of jail, and it's just not been a place of rehabilitation to him. And I wish there was a way to make these not places to go to become a worse person. At some point, if we're going to be releasing these people, we should help them with their issues. Oftentimes, drugs, mental illness, lack of faith formation. Those are more complicated conversations. I don't want to run out of time before we talk about what is on the news every day these days. What does the church think about immigration? And a country's right to have sovereign borders?
Seems like God moved around a lot of people.
Yeah, this is a really very complicated issue. It gets down to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, about what does it mean to be human? On the one hand, yes, our country does have the right to have the border and to know who's inside it and who's not. We even have a right, honestly, to build walls to keep people out, to keep us safe. That is our right as a sovereign country. We also have a certain responsibility, and I think the United States is in a particular place in which we have perhaps the greatest responsibility than any other country, because we are so blessed here. So what does that mean morally? I think, personally, this is my personal opinion, I think we ought to be generous with how many people we allow in, give them that same blessing. But at the same time, we do have a right to know the names of who these people are. People shouldn't just be sneaking in without our knowledge, with or without the coronavirus, good or bad people. We have a right to know who lives here. And so I think that doesn't seem all that complicated. But how generous do we become as a society, I guess, is maybe the important question. What's central to all of it is the dialogue that seems to be lacking. We don't, we're just so, the conversation is, it's gotten to such a low debased level, we don't even speak of these people in human terms anymore, it seems. And that, I think, is lacking in our public square. And on the other side of the coin is what is I almost never hear it talked about is by having a bright flashing light, come to America, we have the answer to all your problems, is destroying families. We see it if you even in our own community here in the Diocese of Arlington, go to some of the Hispanic parishes, you'll see lots of guys who are sending money back home, but they're living in an apartment with four or five other guys, and after a few years of separated from their families, they got the girlfriend, and the family is destroyed. This happens over and over and over again. By having the bright light come to America, the giant magnet, is money really the answer to all of our issues these days? I think we all know the answer to that is no. So I think it would be better if we spent our resource in trying to help these countries have a standard of living that were more would cause them to not want to leave. People should be in their native place with their families intact. Is my personal opinion. The sad part is not all places are free, and there's a lot of corruption, not just in our country, but it's even worse in other places. And so, just fixing the issue is very difficult. But in the meantime, there are lots of people that are caught in this while we're trying to resolve it. I know many amazing people that came to our country illegally that are wonderful people that are performing great acts of services for our nation. Whether they become citizens or not is not relevant. But I also, my own brother-in-law, he's from Colombia, he came here illegally, and he is he is very much for legal immigration. Is very mad at people that come here illegally. This is an issue with many complicated sidebars to it. Thoughts, comments, complaints?
Well, seems that.
What time is this lesson?
9. We, just like the church, has a mandate to fulfill God's will in diocese and in, you know, the church. We also have a mandate to go out beyond our borders to create that same. So then we build the church there, and they would need, you know, build that light wherever they're coming from, and then probably be less of them wanting to come here. Because I think the desire deep down in that burns is, you know, that comfort level in our Lord. Whether they know it or not, they're seeking that religious freedom that's here in America. Why do I have to be threatened when I walk out of my door, you know, so aggressively by the devil, whereas in America, it's quite different.
Yeah, the devil's just more sly here.
More smarter.
I think America's a lot more dangerous than you think.
Depends what channel you turn on.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm sure we have access to pornography and prostitution, illegal drugs and stuff that in abundance here that is not so readily available other places.
But we do, and the Catholic Church, I understand, does a lot of prophesizing, I guess it's called, or missionary in other countries and trying to spread the grace.
Well, I'm speaking to, I don't want to, this is not a hard sell or anything, but I'm on the board of a organization started in our diocese. It's called Commissioned by Christ. It is a mission group. We go on mission throughout the world, or we did before COVID. I've been to Peru on mission. Our mission statement essentially says that our goal is to prepare people for mission, send people on mission, and most importantly, keep that missionary zeal that was, you know, nurtured and then discovered perhaps and then lit on fire when they get back here locally to keep that missionary fire going. As you see when you exit our property, did anyone notice the sign?
Mm-hmm.
What does it say?
Now entering mission territory. Something like that. That was a Father Hathaway. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but I can tell you that just from my own experience going to Peru. I've seen some poverty in my life, but that was pretty extraordinary poverty that I was witnessing for the 10 days that I was there. But they were rich in faith. I was truly moved by the people that I met there. Only to come back, I was at St. Charles in Arlington at the time, in the belly of maybe the richest part of our diocese, Clarendon. People literally across the street from the church were in $3,200 two-bedroom apartments, and yet they were poor. And I don't mean because they had a lot of debt, but because many of them don't know the Lord. I would much rather be in the shoes of one of those people that was living in a dirt house than one strong wind would push it over, than I would be living in the shoes of some of those people that don't know that God loves them. They go to work, they're doing the grind, and they're making the money, but they are miserable. because they don't know the love of Christ. So this is mission territory, I think ever more so. So we don't have to go to Peru to be on mission. Again, exciting times. I'm so happy to be alive. immigration is complicated. What else? I'm not sure I went through most everything on the list. The next week, if Father lets me, I'm trying to sub for him because he subbed for me when I wasn't feeling well one night. We're going to talk again about what we're Catholic now, what by I think getting to the heart of something I hope is on all of our hearts, and that is evangelization. We have a gift, it should be shared. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let us pray. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our social teachings as Catholics. Lord, it helps guide our moral compass. We ask that you help us continue to seek truth, beauty, and goodness in all its forms. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds to the truth, the beauty, and the goodness of our faith, Lord, that we may then be instruments of the same truth, beauty, and goodness out in the world. Amen. Mm-hmm. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. All right, guys.
Thank you, Father.
Thanks for coming. I wasn't sure who would come.